Old friends alike, we're so grateful to be here today. I was just so blown away to hear all the different things that God has been doing through this church to impact the nation of Malaysia. I was just so happy and blessed to hear Pastor Neil share some of those things. And just being here this morning and seeing so many of you giving such a warm welcome, I want to say thank you, right? Thank you for that. I also want to say thank you to Pastor Tim for allowing me to preach, for trusting me to preach this morning. And Pastor Tim is someone who my wife and I just have such great admiration for. This is our picture with Pastor Tim in 2008 during the APEC conference here in Malaysia. And we have so much of admiration for his life, his leadership, his example, his simplicity, yet his deep wisdom in so many things. And it's so ironic that when we were planning to pass through Malaysia, one of the reasons we were looking forward to coming here was to meet Pastor Tim and his family. And God has a different way of doing things, right? So ironic that the very days that me and my family are here in Malaysia, he and Miss Teresa are passing through Dubai. So we missed each other by a bit. And I also want to really acknowledge my best friend, Neil, Pastor Neil. You know, it was so funny that we've been friends since about 2003, and we hardly have any photos together. Those are the days before digital cameras and cell phones that could actually take pictures. But that's us during the World Conference in 2019, enjoying ourselves some Shake Shack in Orlando. I'm here this morning with my family. My wife Candace is here. Please forgive me. I didn't put a picture of my family up there, but my wife Candace is over here. And my three kids are enjoying Kids Church on the other side of this road. So I want to start my preaching with a little bit of a confession. Is that okay with you guys? You know, one of the things that I tend to do is I tend to commit to do things for my wife that I often fall short of. Now, it's not that I did not want to fulfill my promise. It's not that I was lying. But I think many times I just didn't have the time, the resources, the margin, or the ability to fulfill the promise that I gave her. And now my wife is getting wiser and wiser over the years. So nowadays, when I make one of these promises, when I make one of these commitments, she would often follow it up with a very, very important question. And the question is usually, are you sure you can do this? Please tell me now so that I can adjust my expectations if you are not going to do this for me. And I think that's very wise of my wife to take my promises with a pinch of salt. But how many of you know that promises are powerful? When someone gives you a word to hold on to, it's powerful. Especially when we go through difficult moments or difficult seasons in life. Promises give a sense of hope. They give a sense of anticipation. They give us something to expect and to look forward to, even though the present time may be looking very bleak. This morning, we're going to continue our series, Faces of Faith, and we're going to be talking about the faith of Sarah, and we're going to talk about faith to believe. And our text for this morning is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. Join me as I read. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of the heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that everyone who would hear the word, God, that your word would penetrate our hearts and our minds. God, that we would have a greater revelation of who you are, and there would be a response of faith that every one of us would have. Bless us as we sit under your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our text this morning talks about the faith of Sarah. Sarah was the wife of Abraham. Now if you remember in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. And he tells Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to give you great number of descendants. So that through you and through your descendants, the nations of this earth would be blessed. So by extension, that is a promise given to Sarah as well. But as we would see in Scripture, years rolled by and they don't have children yet. They were still childless. So what does Sarah do? Sarah kind of takes things into her own hands. And if you try to put yourself in Sarah's place, I think you would understand why you would do that. Because there was a promise that had to be fulfilled, but time was rolling by and the promise was not happening. Maybe she was sitting there and wondering while browsing through Netflix, when would God's promise happen? I'm getting older, my husband is getting older, when would God do what he promised? How did he make these things happen? No wonder Sarah would take things into her own hands. Hey, you know what? Maybe I should give God a helping hand. And she suggests to Abraham, why don't you go with our maidservant Hagar? And Abraham takes that advice and then they give birth to a son by the name Ishmael. But a few more years rolls by and God comes again to Abraham. And he reaffirms Abraham, Abraham, Sarah will indeed become the mother of nations. You will bear a child through her. Now for Sarah, she just couldn't believe what she was hearing. You remember that thing, that part of Scripture? When Sarah heard what God was saying or what the word of God was said to Abraham, she laughed. She laughed because she for her, it's like, we're so old. How could this happen? She actually sarcastically laughed. So she had this promise from God, but until the age of 90, she remained childless. Until she bore Isaac, the son whom God had promised Abraham, through whom they would have many descendants, and through whom the nations of this earth would be blessed. You know, it's interesting, when you read the book of Hebrews, Sarah is presented to us as an example of faith. But if you read through the book of Genesis, it seems as if Sarah is more of an example of doubt. See, as many of us go through challenging seasons in life, and when the external realities, the external pressures start weighing down on us, we start dealing with an internal conflict. And that conflict is, in the face of all the realities of life, in the face of the facts that I'm facing, can faith and doubt coexist? Can faith and doubt coexist? Can faith, which is this eternal persuasion to trust and follow God, in spite of the external circumstances, can that coexist with my doubts? This feeling of uncertainty, because of the uncertainties and the realities that the externals presents to us. See, as we go through life, and when life presses in on us, on the inside of us, there is always a battle of faith and the battle of doubt. And no matter who you are, no matter whether you're a new Christian or an old Christian, we all face these internal conflicts, turmoils that makes us ask, God, is this really possible? God, is it really you who promised? God, how will you make this happen? God, when will you make this happen? God, who are you going to use? Or what are the means that you're going to use by which you will finally fulfill what your promise said it's going to be? No one in this room, big or small, would face crisis of doubt. And I think as a believer, as a Christian, that kind of puzzles us, doesn't it? Because I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to have faith. I'm supposed to have hope. But when doubts about our parenting, when doubts about our marriage, when doubts about our singleness, when doubts about our careers, doubts about our future, doubts about our finances, when they press against us, And when we start having these doubts, sometimes we think to ourselves, would God penalize me for having these doubts? Would God cancel me out because I have these doubts? How do I deal with the doubts when life presses in on me? The book of Hebrews was written to Christians who were going through hardships. They were going through persecution. They were going through challenges in their faith. So the author of the book of Hebrews writes to them to encourage them not to throw away their confidence in God, but to persevere through the hardships and the trials, to persevere through the doubts that they may experience. And so he uses a few Old Testament characters as examples of faith. And I believe that the story of Sarah teaches us on how faith and doubt can coexist in the life of a Christian. In verse 11, this is what it says, that by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. Sarah, by faith. But you remember the narrative of Genesis? This was not a perfect faith. It was not a faith that shielded away fears. But this was a faith that dealt with the doubts that she had. And how did she express this faith? It says that she expressed this faith because she considered him faithful who promised. She considered God. She didn't consider her realities, although the realities were real. She considered God, not her ability. She considered God, not her age. She considered God and not what the medical practitioners would say, but she considered God, the promise maker. She considered God, and this is powerful, she considered God to be faithful. Now, when we say this word consider, this is important in the text. The word consider means a belief that rests not on one's inner feelings or sentiment, but on careful thought of external grounds. So when fear came her way, her consideration was not her reality. Her consideration was who God is. And the text says that God is faithful. The faithfulness of God means that God is perfectly loyal and he is consistent to his word and his character. God is always loyal. God is always consistent to his word. That's what he says. He's consistent and he's loyal to his character, to who he is. So in the face of the realities that creates doubts in our lives, we need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God towards us. So no matter what doubts we go through or what doubts we battle through, God is willingly able to remain faithful, to remain steadfast, to remain loyal towards every one of us, even when we struggle to be faithful towards him. And I think that is such a gift of grace. God's faithfulness towards us is not something that we strive for. God's faithfulness towards us is not something that we work for. It is something that God graciously extends to everyone who would earnestly seek him, because God is faithful. And God remains faithful even when you and I are struggling with our doubts and struggling to remain faithful to him. Isn't that an encouragement this morning? So as we go through life, and as we are pressed down with life, we can either rest on our doubts, which is to rest on our conclusions of what's happening in life, our reasonings of what's happening in life, or we can rest in the faithfulness of God. And that is a point of decision that every one of us needs to make. We want to respond in faith because God is faithful. So to live by faith does not mean we don't live with no doubts. But rather, to live by faith means that we hold on to God's faithfulness in spite of our doubts. Amen. So if you look at Sarah and the story of Sarah's faith, it wasn't Sarah's faith that was unwavering. It was God's faithfulness that remained steadfast. It remained unwavering towards Sarah. So this morning, as we look how to apply this text, our goal is not to have Sarah's faith, but our goal is to have faith in the one that Sarah saw as faithful in spite of the doubts that she went through. And as she considered God to be faithful, she saw how God was the one who brought the miracles and the breakthroughs. And that is why this morning, our encouragement is that our miracles and our breakthroughs do not rest on our doubtfulness, but rather they rest on God's faithfulness. Can I get an amen in this room? Amen. Our miracles don't depend on our doubtfulness. It depends on God's faithfulness. So what does the miracle for you that you're praying for, hoping for, look like? Is it a miracle of healing, a miracle of restoration, a miracle for you to be able to get wisdom to navigate through certain decisions in life? Maybe your miracle today looks like having a new start. For some, a miracle might be to have something to happen so that you get out of a rut. Whatever it is, when doubts press in, remember our miracle is dependent on God's faithfulness. Amen? So let's talk about some applications. Through our doubts, how do we live by faith and so that we can experience the power of God and miracles and breakthroughs? Here are three things that we want to do so that we would be able to live by faith in the midst of doubts. Number one, we want to rest on God's plans. Rest on God's plans. You see, Sarah and Abraham were not hoping for a miracle that had a personal benefit. They were holding on to a promise, this child Isaac, and this was God's promise for them so that the nations of the earth may be blessed. So take note of that. The miracle was not for Abraham and Sarah's benefit. It was aligned to the plans and the purposes of God. And I think many times we chase after personal dreams, personal ambitions, personal desires. Not that they're inherently wrong, but when we are not able to achieve those things, we kind of hold God accountable to make that happen. And if we're really honest with ourselves, most of the times, our personal dreams, our personal ambitions, our personal desires that we run after, these goals that we set for ourselves, usually satisfies three people. Those three people are me, myself, and I. And as long as these dreams and these plans is going to make my life more comfortable, I want to pursue after them. And I'm going to be in faith for them. But when God does not respond with a miracle, then we turn on God saying, God, how dare you? The story of Abraham, the story of Isaac teaches us that God is always faithful and his faithfulness is dependent on his plan, not on ours. I think that's a bitter pill to swallow, that God would actually be more faithful to his plan than our plans. That's just one of the realities, isn't it? So to live by faith is to live holding on to the plans and the promises of God. And these are always plans that would advance his kingdom. These are plans that would shape Christ-like character in us. These are plans that would be a blessing to the people, to the community that God has called us to. So if we want to live by faith in the midst of our doubts, we need to ask ourselves, am I holding on to my plans or am I holding on to the plans of God? Plans to advance his kingdom, plans to shape Christ in me, and plans that would be a blessing to the people that God has surrounded me with. Discern the heart of God. Draw near to God. Go to Scripture. Surround yourself in your discipleship community. Have Christ-centered, Bible-based voices who can speak to you to help you discern what are the plans that you are running after. And remember this, because God is committed and He is faithful to His plans, He will do miracles, because those miracles will ultimately advance His name. They glorify His name. Amen? So how do we deal with doubts and we live with fear? Well, just ensure that we are holding on to the plans of God. We are resting on the plans of God. The second thing that we need to do is that we would rest on God's power. See, Scripture tells us that Abraham was good as dead, and Sarah tells of herself that I am old and I am worn out. Those images don't paint an image of people who are ready for childbearing. If anything, those were the images of people who don't qualify for childbearing. And yet, even though that the odds were stacked against Abraham and Sarah, yet because they believed, they had faith in the one who promised, God's power came through for them. Many of us think, or we hold on to this false assumption, that God's power will come through for us when we have the resources for it to happen. But many times, God would allow us to reach a point where we cannot do it, and then that's when He intervenes. That's when He displays His power. And so for many of us, as we look at our lives, we look at our realities, they might seem like a field of brokenness, a field of barrenness, a field of no hope. But for God, it is a breeding ground for miracles. You know, I have two older sisters. One of them is 11 years older to me, and the other one is 10 years older to me. So there was a big gap. And so somewhere along the way, around 7, maybe 8 years after my second sister, a prophetess visited my parents' house in Dubai. And she was praying for my parents, and then she prophesied to my parents saying that you will have a son. And like Sarah, apparently my mom laughed at this person's prayer or this person's prophetic word. But 2 years later, lo and behold, I was born. Okay? I don't know whether you're happy or not, but my wife definitely is very happy that I was born. Okay? God said it, so He did it. But here's the thing. Medically speaking, I wasn't supposed to be born, because my mom had something called a copper T on the inside of her that would prevent pregnancy. And in spite of that, I was born. I'm a medical marvel, okay? We can rest on God's power, because God's power supersedes our present realities. Do we need to ignore our realities? No, that's not the point. But to live by faith is to know that God's power is beyond our realities. Amen? This morning, let's be encouraged that because God's miracles flows from the immeasurable, uncontainable, creative power of God, we can put our faith in Him to do the impossible. There is nothing too hard for our God. Amen? We can rest on the power of God as we live by faith in the midst of the doubts that we face. Lastly, how do we live by faith? Is we live by faith by resting on God's character. Resting on God's character. We see how God's miracle for Abraham and Sarah was not because Sarah's faith or Abraham's faith was faultless or it was perfect. Or rather, they had a life without any doubts about who God was or whether God can fulfill what he promised. The miracle happened because they followed, they trusted, they obeyed God, and God showed up in spite of their shortcomings. See, many of us are quick to assume that it's our faithfulness, it's our unwavering faithfulness that unlocks the miracle. When we look at the story of Sarah, it wasn't her faith that unlocked the miracles primarily. It was God's faithfulness that did. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God does not lie. He is all-powerful. He is faithful. He is all-knowing. He is sovereign. And if we are to live through life in faith, in spite of the doubts, then we need to rest not on our intelligence, not on the words or the promises of people, because most likely they might fail us. But our unfailing God will never fail us. We rest on the character of God. Our hope for today is that God can work miracles for us. But it requires us to anchor our hope, to anchor our faith in who he is. As we flip through the pages of the Bible, as we take time to meditate, read and meditate on God's word, as we take time to worship him, as we take time to fellowship and be in a discipleship community, as we take time to come to a place like this, it all points us back to who God is. He's unfailing. And we can trust his character. Amen? Because God's faithfulness does not waver, even when ours does. We can believe for miracles to happen. Amen? So can a Christian go through life where doubts and faith collide? Yes. But in moments like that, this is what we need to do. We need to rest on God's plans. We need to rest on God's power. And we need to rest on God's character. I want to end my preaching today with two stories. In 2020, December, my dad pastors a church in Dubai. December 2020, he started to have headaches. And we realized he started to forget what was happening. And so long story short, we rushed him to the hospital and they discovered that there was a clot in his head, around his brain. And there was an emergency surgery and they wheeled him in. They got a surgery done. It was a very delicate surgery. And the doctor said, if you would have come a few hours late, most likely the story of your dad would have been very different. And on the 25th of December, Christmas Day, 2020, he came back home. The week after New Year, I was at home, and we heard about our dad having some breathing difficulties, and this was the height of COVID. And he was having some breathing difficulties, but we didn't take it too lightly because he just came back from the hospital. He really didn't meet much people. But then I gave my parents one of those oximeters, you know, to check the oxygen. And my mom called me one morning saying, hey, dad's thing has dropped from 82 last night. And it's, it was 89 last night. It's 82 this morning. We called up this doctor and he told us to rush dad to the hospital. So I picked up my dad, rushed my dad to the hospital. They did some checks. And then about an hour later, they wheeled my dad into the emergency ward. And then we got a call a few hours later, a call that we did not want to hear, saying that my dad was COVID positive with pneumonia. And someone who just came out of surgery, those are not very good odds to make it alive at the end of it. And then started this journey of doubts, fears. But God, we We are believers. We are Christians. We are your sons, your daughters. Shouldn't we be shielded from these kind of things that happens around us? My dad just came out from a surgery and he's back in ICU, in isolation. And this is what I could remember from how I felt about it as I was preparing this preaching. The word that I would use here is, I was clouded with doubt. You know clouds? It's there. You can't see past it. But it's not permanently there. It'll move. But as long as you're under that cloud, man, you just don't see anything. For the first few days, we really didn't even know how to pray, if you're being very honest. Till one day, as I was reading my Bible in the morning, I sensed the Lord telling me that morning, why don't I change what I'm praying for? So it went from just saying, Lord, heal my dad, Lord, heal my dad. My prayer changed to, Lord, my dad's already lived a good life. He's 76. He's been a blessing to so many people over the years, and we've seen your hand over his life through the years. If you still have a purpose for my dad's life, then heal him. If not, it's really in your hands. That day, they sedated my dad and they put him on life support. And the doctors called me saying, you need to come and sign some waivers because this is what we're going to do. And our friends told us, prepared us that it's less than 50-50 for people to come out from being under sedation. But in less than 3 days, on the third day, miraculously, even to the amazement of the medical doctors, my dad's condition improved so drastically. And he was back alive. And a few days after that, he came back home and he's healthy, he's strong, he's 77, driving the car, and he's more busy and active than my wife and I put together. God has blessed him immensely. But when we were in that place, when we do not know what else to hold on to, we had to change our prayer. God, if you have a purpose, let a miracle happen. Because we trust that you are good and we will trust your ways. God came through with a miracle. A few weeks after my dad's story or my dad's incident, two of our members from church got COVID positive, a husband and a wife. They're in their late 50s. And because of isolation procedures, the husband and the wife were in two different hospitals. And the husband had a few medical complications along the way. The wife was cleared of COVID. She was ready to be discharged. The day she was discharged, and let me tell you, the whole church prayed. We rallied in prayer that our friend would make it through. He had heart attacks. He's had bypass surgeries. And God has seen him through all of that in the past. God, you're going to see him through again. And we were praying for him. Fervently and valiantly, we were praying for him. The day the wife got discharged, by the time she could reach the hospital where the husband was, he passed away. And that was hard. Not just for his wife. It was hard for all of us. As we go through life, as we go through hardships, as we go through difficulties, as we try to make sense of our faith in Jesus Christ, in the midst of all of the doubts that we go through and the doubts that we experience, when things don't happen the way how we thought it would, or this was not the outcome that we hoped for, we can get frustrated. We can get disappointed. We might ask, does my faith really work? Maybe my doubts were true after all. But I like what Pastor Tim said last week. As believers, as Christians, we live between the reality of the now and the not yet. We live in this reality of the now, knowing that through the life, death, resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was an inauguration of the kingdom of God here on earth. A kingdom in which we will experience the peace of God, the shalom of God, the wholeness of God, the healing of God, the prosperity of God, the blessing of God, the wholeness that comes because we are in His kingdom. There is something that we can experience here and now, but we might not experience it in its entirety. That we will experience in a kingdom that is yet to come. But as we go through that, let's not kid ourselves. We have to make it through our uncertainties. We have to make it through our doubts. But here's our blessed hope, that through our doubts, we have the constant work of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit to see us through. The book of Jude puts it this way: now to Him who's able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory without blemish and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Let me leave you with this sense of hope. And we're going to take some time to worship after this. The greatest miracle that a believer will experience is God's presence for us to preserve us, to preserve the work of salvation in us, that the work of sanctification would happen in us, that the Holy Spirit will accompany us through the seasons of life, so that one day we would be able to stand before the Father, not because we did it, but because of the work of the triune God for us. So regardless of our doubts, regardless of our uncertainties, a miracle that we will constantly experience is God's work for us every single day. That is why we can hope for miracles. That's why we can believe that the power of God will come through for us, no matter what the situation might be. Amen. Let me just take a moment to pray for you. We'll ask the worship team to lead us in a time of singing after this. Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that through the ups and the downs of life, through the trials, through the hardships, through the pain, through the questions, through the doubts that every one of us kind of goes through in the different seasons of life, we are so thankful that you are faithful. God, that no matter how much we might struggle, no matter how much we think we have dropped the ball, you remain faithful towards us. And this morning, Lord, we pray for everyone in this room. God, you know their season. You know the exact point of life that they're in. God, you know every doubt that they are currently dealing with. And I pray that this morning, that a fresh revelation of the faithfulness of God, your faithful character, your unchanging character. Lord, if you said it will be, it will be. God, you will never be inconsistent with who you are, and you are good and you are holy, you are righteous, you are just. And I pray that the wholeness of who you are would be experienced by every single person in this room. Lord, help us to remain faithful to you as we go through our lives. Help us to rest on your plans, rest on your power, rest on your character, knowing that you are faithful to do as you have said. Bless your people. Would you minister and would you give them an increase in faith in their heart as they go through life? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.